Hi, thanks for joining us today. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of The Hollywood Parents Guide, and today my guest on this podcast is Dr. Yalda Uhls. Yalda is a former Hollywood producer turned academic research psychologist and the author of Media Moms and Digital Dads. Yalda, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for getting my complicated bio right.
You do have a complicated bio.
I do.
But it's so cool.
Thank you.
I mean what a background.
It's a very unique background. And I've realized that there's really nobody that has that kind of background, as far as I know. Somebody who understands the entertainment industry and sort of the very quirky nature of the film business. That was the area I was in, but the television business as well, and the storytelling business, really, in the meta sense, as well as the academic world, where you have to really understand research. And so I'm actually trying to be a bridge between the two, because there's very few people that can speak both language.
There is such a need for that. And I just can't think of a better person to, I don't know of another better person. I don't think there is another better person, but, you know, to have answer all the questions that parents and young actors have about social media.
Yeah.
And the way that they are affected by it and the way they interact with it.
Yeah, it is. That is, I feel for young actors, and, you know, I feel for any teenager that it's exploring. And I'm a mom too. I've got two kids. And I feel for any teenager that's exploring this and learning this. But for actors, as they're going through identity development and figuring themselves out, and they have to do it for their jobs. And, you know, there's a lot of pain out there, and they've got to, you know, I mean, there's a lot of positive validation as well, but social media is, you know, exponential, I imagine.
It's a lot to navigate, and it has literally become part of the job description of any young actor, and that can be super daunting for an especially young actor, or for a young actor who's really just getting in the business, and their parent to try and figure out, you know, how to navigate.
Yeah.
I read your book. I love it.
Oh, thank you.
I really do. It's recommended. I've got a list of resources on my website, and it's on the resource list. I think every parent, you know, with an adolescent or pre-adolescent should read it, but especially parents of kids getting into the industry. And I love the way that your book opens with this story about the controversial new medium that's sweeping the Western world at the end of the 19th century, and young people are immersing themselves in it, and parents are all alarmed. And then we hear that this new medium turns out to be the mass market novel.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, it puts today's anxiety into a lot of perspective.
So true. And it happens over and over again. I mean, the novel is just such a, like, powerful metaphor for, you know, for this sort of freak out that we all have over new media, because now most of us are like, please, my daughter, read, you know. So, you know, this thing that people were freaking out about, parents were freaking out about, now we're begging our children to do it. But it has also happened with radio, it's happened with computers, it's happened with you know, the internet, it's happened with social, and now it's social media. It happens over and over and over again. You know, it's happening with Pokemon Go. It's going to happen with VR. You know, we're always freaking out. And then the older me, you know, what's so amazing is, like, now people are like, you know, television's totally fine. It happened with TV. You know, remember when we were growing
up? It's true.
Everybody was like, TV, it'll make you brain dead.
It'll ruin you.
Yeah. And now everyone's worried about social media and saying, television's fine.
Our cat just joined us. Come on, Fern. Go on.
Hi, Fern.
Fern likes to be part of the podcast. So how did you get interested in the intersection of media and kids?
I mean, essentially, media has been something I've always been interested in. I mean, I've spent my whole life doing it. And then once I had kids, it was a natural intersection of my two passions. I mean, once I had kids, I stepped off of my movie career and spent some time at home with the kids. But I really then became very interested in child development. And, you know, I read all the parenting books that were academically inclined and, you know, was obsessed by that stuff. And then decided I was so obsessed, I wanted to get a degree in it. So, and because media use was exploding at that time, and I was interested in kids, looking at the research at how media affects children made a lot of sense.
It does, and especially with your background in the entertainment industry, you have extra insight into that. You know, I really, really loved the way that you approach your subject, not like as a judge deciding, well, this is bad and this is good, but just as someone who was really curious yep. about how the data might help us make the best choices for yep. our kids and our families, because, you know, everybody knows we all have different situations, and there's some assumptions in this culture about, you know, what's good and okay around media mm-hmm. use and what's bad and wrong around mm-hmm. media use. And part of mm-hmm. what I loved about your book mm-hmm. was that you just very clear-eyed went after those assumptions and in some cases turned them on their heads because mm-hmm. the data doesn't always bear mm-hmm. out our assumptions, does mm-hmm. it?
The data often is telling us that most of the stuff's okay. One thing that's the biggest thing that parents are worried about is video games, and they actually worry more about their girls playing video games than boys even. And in fact, the data shows that video games can help girls become better at spatial learning, which helps them in math. I mean, so like the data on video games compared to the data on television, video games are like, you know, eating, you know, beets or like, you know, broccoli. It's like good for you actually in many cases. I mean, obviously I'm not saying play video games 24/7. There's a lot of other issues, some of the violent content, but there is a lot of great data on video games and parents freak out about it. So it's crazy. And what's really interesting is, you know, I think we've spent some time, and the research community too. I mean, we've all been shocked at how quickly everything's changed and how quickly this generation and all of us have, you know, we carry our phones around with us everywhere, how important they are in our lives. So, and mobile technology really changed things. So it is a little scary, and I get that. And the data originally, the researchers originally looked at a lot of the claims, you know, the stranger danger, the predators, the cyberbullying, you know, these high profile cases that the media would sort of explode. There's really not that much evidence that those things, the negatives outweigh the positives. And just like any other media, we adapt, like we adapt to the book, you know? I mean, you figure out the way to use the media and you maximize the positives and minimize the negatives. And if you're scared, and that's why the subtext of my book is called Fact Not Fear, it's because if you're scared, you will push your child away from it, or you will not parent. And you have to actually parent. You have to actually learn about it enough that you can feel good about helping your child get the best of it.
I love that. You know, I really love your advice that parents follow their kids online and literally open up the same accounts. Like if your kid's getting a Snapchat, you get a Snapchat. Yeah. If your kid's getting an Instagram and a Twitter, you get an Instagram and a Twitter. Yeah. We all know you probably already have Facebook, but to not like hide that from your kid, but to make that a condition of permission
yeah.
for those kids to have the various social media accounts, because this is not the same as spying.
Yeah.
This isn't like, you know, my concern and my experience as a parent yep. is that whenever you turn something into a taboo and yeah. you forbid it, then typically what happens yep. is the kid just does it secretly.
Yep.
And then they open up a secret online account, and then there is no way
yep.
for you to keep track of what's going on
Absolutely.
With them. And that's
yeah.
dangerous.
Yeah.
So you basically advocate transparency
yes.
in communication.
Yeah. And you know, I, like you as a parent, and as a daughter, you know, I have these experiences that I'm bringing to the table, and I agree with you. This is exactly what my experience is as well. And the data and the research, actually, the social science research backs that up. So not every kid who's forbidden, I mean, not every kid is going to go underground, but a great number of them will. If they feel like you're being unreasonable and you're making these rules that are, or you're spying on them all the time, or putting filters, or, you know, watching them, or reading their texts behind their back, they will. The danger is they will actually create other accounts, and then you're not there to help guide them. So particularly in the beginning, and I imagine for actors and actresses who are going into the business, you know, they've got to learn about social media at a very young age, as soon as they start, and their parents are going to have to help guide them even more. When your kid is starting to think about social media, instead of saying no, 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 if you say yes a little bit before, you know, sort of everybody else has to do it, you have a lot of leverage, and you have a lot of sort of, you know, you can do it the right way, and you can sit down with them and you can say, here are the rules. I follow you. You know, I personally keep my daughter's email on my account. You know, I was actually on some of her accounts, but it was always transparent. And, you know, I'm doing this to help guide you, to put my adult eyes onto this stuff. You don't understand, you know, you've got to learn. And then as you are making smart choices, and I see that you're making good choices, I'll pull back.
It's like training wheels when they're riding a bike, which I think is a metaphor you actually use in the book. And it's also just like when they're learning how to drive. You know, they get a learner's permit.
Yep.
They're not like, oh, you're 16, here's the keys to the car, good luck with that.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm intimidated by it, and I don't know anything about it, and it scares me, so I'm not going to help you.
Yeah,
and I'm not going to learn what I need to learn to be there for you and support and guide you. It's like, no, you would never do that with a car, and it's really similar.
It really is. I mean, it doesn't have the physical presence of being able to kill yourself, but at the same time, there are a lot of dangerous things that can happen on the internet, you know, and... You know, the cyberbullying stuff and actors and actresses have to deal with it on a whole nother level. But, you know, it happens when they're in that middle school age and they're sort of learning all these social norms. And then they're learning it without having the benefit of looking at someone's face and seeing how they're affected. They can say some really mean things and inappropriate things. And they need your guidance and your eyes to help them understand that this is inappropriate and to teach them and to maybe sometimes even say, I don't want you to go on that site until you understand this better. We, you know, there's anonymous social media, like Ask.fm is one now, Formspring was one before. Those are some of the worst ones. And, you know, your child, you have to really make sure they are ready if they're going to go on those sites, because some of the behavior on those sites is horrible.
Really, truly horrible. I'm a big fan of social media in general.
Yep.
But those types of sites are just toxic, and I can't imagine anything really good coming from them. You know, one thing I learned when I read your book was that most social media sites, all the major ones, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, they prohibit use from kids under 13. And I didn't know that because by the time they came into being, my kids were over 13, for one thing. But I see a bunch of kids on those things all the time, all day long. They're clearly under 13.
Yeah.
So... How do you recommend that parents navigate this issue with their kids? Like maybe their 11-year-old is like, Mom, all my friends are on this site.
Yeah.
What do you recommend they do?
First, anytime your child says, all my friends are on, it could mean two friends.
Right.
And also, you know, they're only looking at a small little group of people, of their peers, and they think that's everybody, but there's a much larger social group to sort of take the pulse of. So I would do your own homework and find out from parents of other kids if indeed their children are on it. Because sometimes they'll say all, and it's really hardly anybody.
It's three.
Right. However, now once it is all, once you don't want your child to be the very last person, I'm a great believer in community norms and fitting in with the community. So I think that once your child is really, truly one of the last few people, it's more important to let them fit in with the community than worry about COPPA, which is the 13-year-old. So the reason all these sites say 13 is because of a federal law called COPPA, which basically says they can't sell the data of anyone under 13 to third parties. And since all these sites sell our data and share our data, it's just easier for them to say nobody under 13, you know, allowed. So, if you can wait till 13, I think that's a great idea. The longer, the older your child is, the more socially mature they are, the better, the less mistakes they'll make. And you can always say, oh, well, there's a law. But as I said, if everybody indeed is on at age 11 or 12 and you have confirmed that independently, then you go ahead and let them on. And then what you do is you I'm a big believer in device contracts or family media agreements. There's a lot of research that says, and this is just basic parenting, you know, when you, rather than telling your child, you know, you must do this, it's my way or the highway, you make it a conversation and you bring them into the process and you ask their guidance as well. Yes, you're in charge and you have the final say, but you give them a little independence and autonomy and credit for having good ideas as well. And you negotiate together the way that it should happen.
I love that. What about, let me back up a little bit. You know, I'm thinking about young actors in this conversation and, you know, the whole... the way that social media affects all young people, you know, as they're coming of age in that weird space, you know, that's public and that's anonymous in many cases. But when you are in the public eye, mm-hmm. and you are, you know, turning into something of a name and mm-hmm. getting a certain number of followers, you know, it's one thing if you've got the kids at school bullying you mm-hmm. or the kids at school online bullying mm-hmm. you, but it's a whole other deal if you're 14 years old and some, you know, middle-aged guy in the middle mm-hmm. of the country is saying hideous, horrible things mm-hmm. about you mm-hmm. online, you know, because what happens to actors, whatever their age, is that they get objectified mm-hmm. by people, and it's like they're no longer human, and there's a clear assumption that they don't have any feelings, mm-hmm. that they don't feel pain when they read these vicious, vicious mm-hmm. things that are said online. Mm-hmm. So what advice do you have for young people, but maybe young actors in particular, mm-hmm. about dealing with this bullying issue?
Yeah, I mean, that's just a really, really tough one. I mean, one obviously is, you know, you can block the users. That's just very basic, and you should do that if you can. Talk to other actors. You know, as you know, I also teach the Disney Channel talent sometimes, and we did some small groups talking about social media, and it was so empowering for the younger kids to hear from the older kids what they were going through and how they dealt with it. So find your peer group and talk to them about ways that they handle it, and they will, you know, as the first year and the second year, it's really hard. You know, you've never gone through it. You're feeling like all these people actually hate you, but really it's not you. As you're saying, they're objectified. The older actors and the older kids are able to teach the younger kids that, you know, you'll go through this, you can lean on me, and they sort of become these mentors, which is really nice. That's specific for actors. Another thing that I think is really empowering is being transparent about how much it hurts you. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that, you know, if you look at Leslie Jones,
yeah. I was just thinking
about
her.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, she stood up for herself, and she said, look, this is not cool, and this is not what you should do, and this is, I shouldn't be subject to this just because I'm on Twitter and I'm a public figure. And it helped, you know, so I think, you know, as much as social media can bring out some of the worst qualities, it can also allow us this direct access for authenticity and transparency and being able to say, you know, this is who I am. You know, I read this, a few years ago, there were these boys that were 15-year-old boys in Texas that they got in trouble. They got caught. So it's a teachable moment too. But they were bullying a girl very much and saying she was, you know, ugly, horrible, blah, blah, blah. They finally ended up seeing who she was. It was a 12-year-old girl. They saw her face, and all of a sudden they realized, that could have been my sister.
Yeah.
It's like, as much as you can give them a visual of who you are and that these words do hurt, you know, you hope that will bring out the humanness. And these boys, it sort of really sort of struck home for them.
What advice would you have for a young actor who's, you know, maybe not even got anything on IMDb yet, or maybe they've got one credit on IMDb, they're really just starting out, and their parents, in terms of when and how to set up social media accounts for that actor?
I don't know if I'm the expert on that. I would just say probably the same rules as always. Depending on the age of obviously if they're over 13, you go for it. If they're younger than 13, you know, it's part of their job. And if they do have to develop a presence, right? I mean, I would actually ask you what your recommendation would be.
Well, my recommendation, based on my experience and the experience of other parents that I know personally, with kids under 13, is that if your kid is under 13 and they are definitely, you know, someone that you see regularly on TV, or they're starting to make their mark in film or whatever, you open the accounts for them, and then the parent runs the account.
Yeah,
and then you say in the description that it's a parent-run account, because right away, it's part of the transparency thing.
Yep.
Like, your kid knows you're watching their account. It kind of puts them on better behavior.
Yep.
If it's known by anybody who's interacting with that account that it's actually the mom running it,
yeah,
it kind of tends to keep it tamer.
Right.
It keeps
right.
the crazy at bay in
right.
large part. And so, you know, if your kid's too young to run the account, run it for them. you know, run it thoughtfully and well without obsessing over it and freaking out about it. And
and that's part of the parenting 101 too. Like, you have to learn about social media if you're a parent.
You do.
Any parent.
You do. You do. You don't get to stick your head on the sand in this one, because you can't help your kid.
Yeah.
If you're ignorant about this stuff. So, and then there's that kind of delicate, waffly little nether space where you're slowly, slowly stepping back and letting them step in to take it over. But it's not different from
any other thing. Totally.
In parenting. It just isn't. And that's kind of my personal takeaway on so much of this.
Absolutely. And that's sort of what I was really, you know, when I first started doing these talks and I started sharing this information with people, it was very early on. You know, I started school in 2009. The iPhone came out in 2007. So, you know, Facebook and YouTube mid-2000s, you know, so it's like all this stuff was pretty new, and people really, you know, really thought of these things as very separate, and like, I don't know anything about that, you know, but the two things have merged so much, and like with Pokemon Go, you know, it's like the world, this is just part of how we live our lives now. Technology is not a separate thing, and we need to think about it, you know, parenting is parenting, no matter what, online and off. And so when I said that in the beginning, people would be like, huh, really? But now I think people are getting that more and more and more.
I think so too. And it is just part of the landscape of our lives at this point.
Absolutely.
So the rules are just the same for parenting. There is a mystique, though, that I'm noticing. And there's been some talk and some articles in the news about actors being cast due to the size of their social media followings.
Mm.
And I feel like that confuses a lot of actors who are just starting out. They're like, oh, man, you know, I need to get a bunch of followers and, you know, follow for follow. And, you know, they're following 10,000 people and they've got 10,000 followers. It's like, okay, that's meaningless. You know, it doesn't really work that way. Those are not legit followers. But, you know, it's not surprising if you end up in your casting and you're down to two different actors, either of which could be great in the role.
Mm-hmm.
One of them has 10 million followers and the other has 10.
Mm-hmm.
The tiebreaker may be the social media following, you know, no kidding.
Yeah.
It's a real thing.
Yeah.
And
it's
and,
no different than for book authors.
There you go.
Even book authors now, you know, we need social media followers, and they look at this stuff and you think to yourself, oh, these metrics shouldn't matter. It should be about the work that I'm doing. But it's out there, and that's the thing that's very different about the world we are in today. And it's very different for teenagers, just regular teenagers. Like when we were growing up, you know, the popular kid, you kind of think, okay, you knew who the popular kid was, but you didn't know it in as concrete of a way and as public of a way as it is now.
There were public metrics about who was more popular.
Who got more comments, who got more likes. So, you know, you would obsess about who was popular. Now you can really obsess and spend all that time looking at this stuff. So anyway, it's frustrating, but it is true. I mean, unfortunately, that's why you do have to, you know, if your child does want to be an actor or actress, if they're younger than 13, you do have to do it.
Yeah. So you can't, it doesn't help your kid if you decide to just say, oh, this is stupid.
Yeah.
I don't take it seriously. It's
shallow
and all those other things that you might, you know, if you don't know much about it, say about it. But really, it's just another means for us all to be in communication.
Yeah.
And it's part of the job now.
It's part of the job. And it is frustrating. I mean, you know, I like social media, but I'm not a big social media user. You know, I'm not on Facebook putting up, you know, I think of it as a work thing more than a, you know, let me share every detail of my life. But at the same time, it's so good for certain things for me, and there's nothing like it. I mean, I was in Paris and I posted a picture of us and I found a friend that was there. You know, there's so many things that we can do with these new tools that we were never able to do. And you might find as you start doing it, there's going to be some really interesting conversations you'll have with people. And as I said, I do think the world has changed a lot in terms of transparency and you know, less homophobia and all these things. I mean, there's some scary stuff too, but the world, and I think a lot of that has to do with social media because now and getting rid of the gatekeepers and being able to, you know, for a young actor or actress, being able to communicate with fans directly, that is like wonderful. You don't have to rely on some, you know, adults that barely know you, that are have put you in a little box of who you are, now you have the opportunity to actually be who you are. You know, with help from your parents, so that you don't make a stupid mistake.
with some thoughtful handling. Yeah. Well, and that's the flip side of this thing. You know, well, people aren't really, you know, they're not really cast based on their social media followings. And yes, it can be a tiebreaker. But on the other hand, there are people who become social media stars.
Yes.
And they can end up with their own shows, you know, beyond YouTube.
Yeah.
Which is amazing and super cool when you talk about gatekeepers and how it used to be that a very talented young kid in the middle of nowhere, you know, they might just be out of luck. Well, they're not out of luck necessarily anymore because of social media.
And, you know, it's interesting. I just did a panel. I moderated a panel at Google in L.A. and I had four different people on it, a producer, she runs the LA Film Festival. She's African American, a WME, William Morris Endeavor agent. He's Cuban. I had a woman from Google, I had a VR person, and I had a YouTube celebrity. And we were just talking about, you know, when I was in the business and I was in the movie business, that was such the, you know, important vaulted place to be. And it's actually been the hardest sort of place to change because it's an old business. So diversity is really not there. We're talking about how YouTube, there's so much diversity. And, you know, there's this whole Asian YouTube stars that, you know, they've developed followings. And yet in the movies, you know, so that right now there's a huge controversy with Matt Damon, who was cast as an Asian actor, even though he's not Asian, because the gatekeepers think, you know, that an Asian actor can't, you know, we can't find someone for that role. And maybe that's true, maybe that's not. But the reality is now you can say, well, forget you. You're not going to put me in that. I'm going to show people that I have a talent and I, you know, I can, you know, get my own audience. Iniga Higa, all these other people. And the one other thing I want to say about YouTube, which I really love, is like there's this cross-population now. So as you probably know, YouTube stars, many of them are taking their brand and turning into books.
Yeah.
So how cool is that? Again, we're back to books. Like, it's the beyond. YouTube star is making your kid read.
Yes. And actually, the internet has resulted in a higher reading, I think, in general for kids, which is something that people don't really think about.
I put that in the book. More words than ever. We have read more words than ever. We have so much information coming at us. But yeah, absolutely.
Well, I know we're running tight on time. I just want to ask two more questions. What thoughts do you have for the safety of young people online and young actors in particular? Any hot tips?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the number one and the biggest one, we've hit on it already, is make sure you as an adult, as the parent in their life, you are watching it. Build a community of other adults that are also checking their social media. Make sure that they're, if you can, make sure that they're private. But the number one thing is to really just watch what they're doing online. You know, be there, be present, and have other people also watch.
Well, and have conversations like you would have about anything else that they're, like, stepping into and growing into, where there are potentially, you know, big consequences if they're not thoughtful with how they handle
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And, I mean, I lean on teachable moments a lot, and certainly that would apply to actors and actresses, where something happens. Talk about Leslie Jones. Talk about what happened there. Talk about, you know, all the different, there's teachable moments. Donald Trump makes a mistake every day on Twitter. You know, and if a presidential nominee can make a mistake, you know, without controlling his behavior and being thoughtful about what he's saying online, a teenager can certainly do it. So, you know, in a moment around the dinner table, in the car, oh, did you hear about this? You know, just try to get those stories to sink in. And especially if they're young kids, or other actors, there's a chance it'll sink in more.
I like that. And one of my hot tips about safety and being online is that if you are ever in a particular location, at a restaurant, at a theme park, at a place, don't tweet an Instagram that you're there while you're there. Yeah. For goodness sake, take the pictures and talk about it on social media after you've left.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, people know exactly where you are when you're there, and that can be not always good.
Yeah, absolutely. There was something just recently about somebody who tweeted about where they were and they came home and their home was burglarized. So, you know, they talk about that, and I've tried to teach my daughter that. She laughs at me, but it happens.
Yeah, really scary. Any final thoughts for young actors and their parents regarding social media?
Well, I think that, you know, it's actually a plus. I mean, social media in the end is a plus for young actors and young actresses. It can feel overwhelming for a parent who's already, you know, doing quite a lot to help their child, you know, live their dreams, to also have to think about social media, you know, and maybe you're a digital immigrant, you don't understand this stuff, it feels overwhelming. It can feel overwhelming, but I think, you know, lean on other people around you and embrace it and try to learn about it and realize that ultimately it's going to give your child more power, you more power. The more fans you have and the more sort of authentic, real conversations you're having with people through that medium, the more you can control your destiny. I mean, you know, as frustrating as it may be to say, oh, I have this many followers and that many followers, if someone's looking at your followers, that's going to give you more power than, you know, someone subjectively sitting in some room and saying X, Y, or Z. You have a number that you can now say, you know, yeah, I can go out and talk to these people. And some of those people are going to come and see my content and my movie and my, you know, and I can, you know, we can ask them questions. We can engage them. We can get them excited. So ultimately, I would say step into the digital world and have fun. But, you know, make sure that you're there for your kid.
Yeah, do it with your eyes open.
Eyes open.
Yeah. It's an exciting world. It really is. And it doesn't have to be scary if you stay informed.
Yeah. And, I mean, stay up to date. I mean, you can really get scared. It's very easy to get scared because, you know, the mainstream media definitely does, you know, look for the fear factor, look for the examples of the worst case scenario. And it's easy to say, oh, I don't even want my child there. But ultimately, your child's going to eventually go there. So the more time that you are with them on social media, helping them, guiding them, the more benefit they get in learning from your parenting online. You don't want them to leave the house and then just, you know, go blind with no help from you. So
I love that. Thank you. You can find Dr. Yule's book, Media Moms and Digital Dads, on Amazon. There's also a link in the resources page of my website, hollywoodparentsguide.com, where you can find a lot of other great resources and sign up for my free blog. Thank you for your amazing work researching the effects of media on teens and tweens' well-being. And thanks so much for talking to us today, Yelda.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for your incredible resource because, you know, it's very much needed. And the fact that you are such a intelligent, thoughtful person doing this kind of work for parents that are probably confused and kids that really need help, I think it's amazing, and they're lucky to have you.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for listening to Hometown to Hollywood. If you like what you heard here, subscribe to this free podcast and leave a quick rating and review. A moment to click on a star rating really helps, and a minute to write a sentence-long review makes a real difference in the ranking for this podcast. Thank you so much for helping me. You want to know more about getting a young actor up and running in Hollywood? Buy my book, The Hollywood Parents Guide, on Amazon. And if you need specific help getting your career or your child's career up and running or to the next level, you can get a one-on-one consultation with me over Skype or in person in Los Angeles. Go to my website, hollywoodparentsguide.com, and click on the consultations page. Thanks, and see you next week.